you know, open the Senate Education and General Government Committee.
No problem.
We'll start today with a public hearing on House Bill 3116. And we have Senator Bates here to start us off. John Wyckoff is here, too. Did you want to join Senator Bates and help describe the problem here?
Mr. Chair, would you like a quick summary of this one?
Yeah.
House Bill 3116 allows the Blue Mountain Community College District and Rogue Community College District to incur bonded indebtedness for the benefit of districts upon the approval of voters in the district.
Senator Bates.
Chair, thank you, and members of the committee. I'm going to try to give you a little background on how this came about, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Wyckoff to finish up on what the amendment to the bill is going to be. We have a very unusual situation. I'm a senator. Let me introduce myself. Senator Bates, District 3, Southern Oregon, and this is my hometown, the Medford area. We had a very unusual situation in Southern Oregon in which we had a community college in one county, Josephine, and for years did not have it in the larger county next door, Jackson. And in the late 90s, we managed to blend these two, build a new campus in Jackson County, and frankly, the Jackson County campus now is larger than the Josephine County campus, but they still share facilities, and students go back and forth on a regular basis. As an example, about half the nursing program, students travel from Medford up to Grants Pass for it for the first year or so, then they come back down to have their clinical work done in the Medford area at the large hospitals that are there. Then that cooperation, that expansion of that program has worked very well. When we wrote the first bill for this, though, to bring these two districts together, there was some very strange language put into the bill that did it. And if you read that very carefully over and over again, and you can explain it to me, I would appreciate it, because it seems to be very contradictory to each other. And it's left us in the position that when we go about getting capital improvements for the districts, so we've done a couple of times, we're not quite certain if we're doing it legally and appropriately. For that, I mean this. The districts don't line up with the two counties necessarily. If Josephine County, as an example, votes negatively on an issue and Jackson County votes positively, what have you actually done? Are you going to be building a new building or not? And it appears from us what we can tell, we are probably going to build something in Jackson County for Jackson County residents that would be used primarily, or for Josephine County, if it was up in Josephine County, primarily. And these mixed votes makes it almost impossible to figure out. One of the key words to it is substantially all the territory. We don't really know what that means. Is it 51%, 99%, 85%? So it's a very confusing statute, and what we want is a technical fix here to do something very simple. We want Jackson, Josephine County to be able to vote as an entity, and if they want to do a capital improvement, the overall vote and a majority basis allows them to build a new building or to make a capital improvement, because all these facilities, both those in Grants Pass, those in White City, those in Medford, are all used equally by students from both areas. They move and travel all through the system. So I've actually looked at this now for several hours and given up, basically, and trying to understand this statute, and that's why it's been brought forward. The bill you have before you cleans this up, makes it much clearer. Understand also that there is an amendment to it, which is hopefully going to make it clearer, not muddier. And I will tell you, frankly, too, I became aware of this bill only a few hours ago. It's been on the House side. I knew we had a problem in the county. I did not know they were bringing something forward until a few hours ago when I had a chance to review it. But I was very well aware of this because there's been many discussions in our community about what we do when we have to have or want to have a capital improvement levy go out. So I'll stop there and take no questions.
Just one. How could you not be aware of a bill you're the chief sponsor of? It's the only question.
Yeah, you know, in that last moment, they run these little green sheets past you, and you trust your fellow colleagues. But in this particular session, having got the Turkey Award because Dingfelder gave me one to sign and didn't sign on herself, I'm being much more careful about this in the future.
I know John Wyckoff tried to explain this to me in short bursts in the hall, and
I'm actually, Mr. Chair, I'm looking forward to his explanation, too, so maybe you can make this clear for both of us. But I know it's a serious problem. It really is one. And legally, we don't know where we stand sometimes in these two counties. And I would expect that Blue Mountain's probably in the same position. We need clarity here so when we go to the voters, they know what they're voting on. They know what to expect.
John?
Chair House, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Wyckoff. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Community College Association, and I think I probably can provide some background on how we got here, though I probably won't take responsibility for how the statute was originally written, because I think the senator makes some good points about the lack of clarity there, which is what we're trying to address. But essentially, the reason it was set up this way was we had in both Blue Mountain and at Rogue, situations where the Board of Education was asking the community college district to serve an additional district or an additional county in this case. And the concern when you have a established community college and then you're expanding into a district that does not have any service yet is that there is not the kind of unity and that you really need to be able to have two separate areas to have the elections, because you're really until one can become more developed, you're really dealing with almost two systems that you're trying to build and put together. And so it was sort of
if I could interrupt you, could you remind us where each of these are and what communities and counties?
Sure. In Blue Mountain, we're talking in Pendleton area. That's where the main Blue Mountain campus, their expansion district was into.
That's Union.
Umatilla.
Umatilla,
and their expansion was into Baker, and with Rogue, it was Josephine and Jackson are the two served. And so, basically, what they were trying to do is make sure that the in the case where you began in Grants Pass, that you wouldn't have a situation where the district that you were taking on would sort of overwhelm, or that there would be a big imbalance until you had really two. A system that really could become, or a college that could become one unified system in the way that I think Senator Bates explained. And so that's why it was set up, but then I think the problem, as Senator Bates outlined it, is about right. You now have a situation where that is one college with two campuses. They work, it works as one entity, and they want to be able to go out to the district as a whole instead of having to always do it. And what it really does is it just puts them in line with the rest of the other community college districts. So these are the only two that are set up this way, and it was set up, like I said, because they were annexing or taking on another district. And so that was the reason that it was originally set up when they added them on. And again, now that they are, now that they have developed into colleges that are really one college district, they'd like to be able to go out to the whole district.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you. A couple questions. Obviously, Southwestern was created differently. It started with two counties as the district. So the fact that they are doing a satellite campus in Brookings now is a different situation than this.
Senator Haas, or Chair Haas, Senator Cruz, and actually that gets into where I think we're wanting to go with our amendment as well, which I was going to discuss as well, and maybe I'll discuss that now, and I think that gets to that.
There's some similarities.
There really are, and we're asking with the amendments are to basically have the flexibility, because I think you could argue that the mistake that was made early on was not to create sort of a flexibility for when that sort of the development that you want happens, to be able to do it as a whole district. But we also have a situation with a couple of colleges now that are very much the same situation that Rogue and Blue Mountain were at the time that they expanded. And Southwest is actually one of the two that we're looking at that is the perfect example of that, where you've got the campus in Coos County and then in Curry, where they are very distinct, they're sort of communities of interest at this point, and one is a well-developed and established college, and the other one quite nascent at this point. And so they're
an hour and a half apart.
So they would like to be able to do it, to have the ability to have separate, have countywide votes for each district to move forward that way until they can get to the point that the colleges that we have just talked about got to. So that, I think you've.
I'll wait till I hear the amendment, and then I may have more questions. So.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill references district and it references service area. Can you distinguish between the two and how this applies with these two community colleges?
I believe, and I may have to bring up a colleague of mine in case I have not said this correctly. You have a community college district, but you can also have a service area that is not part of the district, where we are serving it but is not yet part of the community college district. And I think in some cases we'll have contractual agreements with another community to provide service.
That is somewhat confusing.
It is very confusing.
I can see the distinction, though.
Apparently, I didn't get that quite right, so I'm going to have my colleague, who's been with the association quite a bit longer than I have.
She looks more there.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Andrea Henderson, Executive Director of the Oregon Community College Association. To clarify the question from Senator Morse, currently a community college district would be the district as a whole. As defined in this bill, a service area is a specific county. So, for example, in Rogue Community College, the district would be both counties put together. The service area would be either Jackson County or Josephine County, as defined specifically in statute. It references another statute in here that's defined elsewhere.
Further questions, Senator Cruz?
Can I make a comment to that? I understand definition. It doesn't meet reality, okay? I mean, if you think of what a service area is, both counties use both facilities equally. So, but I understand it's a legal description, and that's what's important.
Mr. Chair, if I could, I think the distinction needs to be made, and it needs to be made in law. For example, with Southwestern, if the Brookings campus wanted to do an expansion and Curry County was supportive of it, they should not necessarily be held hostage to Coos County, and so they could do something on a county level. Because quite honestly, Coos County could trump Curry very easily just on population. So.
Well, I guess it's Mr. Chair, begs the question, if you have a service area and a district, is it the aggregate of total voters majority, or how do you determine whether you've succeeded or failed in a levy?
Okay. Mr. Chair and Senator Morris, essentially, With the current law, the bond election is in only one county, can only be in the service area. So for the example for Rogue Community College, they can do a bond in Josephine County or a bond in Jackson County. They're not able to do a bond district-wide. The money that's raised from the bond can only be spent in, for example, Jackson County can only be spent in Jackson County. They can only do election in Josephine County and spend the money in Josephine County. They cannot issue a bond district-wide that covers the entire county and assess one rate for both counties. All of our other community colleges currently can and do bond elections district-wide that includes all the counties within their community college district.
Just as a follow-up, why wouldn't we create a statute that conforms to existing statute for these two colleges? Or is that what you're attempting? Are we in conformity with the rest of the community college districts with this language?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, not entirely. It would give these specific colleges, both Rogue Community College and Blue Mountain Community College, the same authority that all other colleges have to issue bonds district-wide. However, the way this is currently drafted, they would retain the ability to offer an election in only one county. That all the other 15 colleges at this point do not have that ability. In bringing forth this bill, we did ask the other colleges, and of the other colleges, there are two other colleges, both Southwestern Oregon Community College and Columbia Gorge Community College, that have had similar circumstances where they have annexed additional counties and would like to have the ability that would that Rogue and Blue Mountain currently have. But currently, under current law, all 15 community colleges, with the exception of this two, can do it district-wide.
Let me offer another piece of information that may be helpful in understanding this. Mm-hmm. This is historical. When the two counties came together to form this one, I'll use the right phrase, district, there was concern in Josephine County, which had had the community college for probably 20 years and had a well-developed campus and all the buildings they needed, although they were bulging the seams, and almost half their students were driving from Medford over to Grants Pass to go in. There was a concern that when they opened up a campus in Jackson County in Medford, that there would be a vote in the bigger county forcing taxes on the smaller county to build a campus in Jackson County. That was one of the concerns. That's why I think the bill was written the way it was initially. Since that time, the voters in Jackson County have put together several bond issues, the last one being $36 million to build a new building. That's a joint building with SOU, and has established campuses that are now even as big or bigger than ones in Josephine County. So the playing field has been leveled now between the two of them, and students flow back and forth. That maturity has occurred over the last 10 or 15 years, and as a result of that maturity, they'd like to move forward to having the opportunity to offer voters in both service areas, both counties, in other words, the vote as a whole on new projects in either county, and retain, from what I'm understanding here, the ability, if you want to do it in just your service area, you can, but you got to prove that's just for your service area, and I don't see how that happens in this situation anymore. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the way I understand it, too.
Okay, we still need Senator Cruz?
Yeah, thank you. Which brings another confusion.
Okay.
At this point, and who determines where the benefit lies? Because it's district-wide if the benefit benefits district, it's service area-wide if the benefits service area. Who makes that determination as to who you're asking?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cruz, the Community College Board, okay, at the time that they're authorizing an election, would make that determination.
Okay, so we will look for an amendment sometime in the next few days before Wednesday, final day of this committee.
Can we have a preview of what the amendment is intended to do, or?
Chair has Senator Cruz. It is. I mean, it addresses exactly the issue that you brought up with two colleges, one being Southwest, to allow them to be able to do that.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Morris.
On the page 2, line 21, should or become and? It should not?
Sufficient to meet the
district or a service area?
I'm sorry, what's or about?
Right here.
Line 21.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, I believe the or is appropriate in that, and that for Rogue and Blue Mountain, it gives the ability for that local board to determine if they're going to do the bond district-wide or in a specific county, which may be appropriate down the road because of the distances between the two counties to offer an election in just one county.
I'm thoroughly confused, and I look forward to amendments.
Okay.
I think I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, thank you. We'll try this again in a week.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for indulging us.
And thank you for addressing the other two colleges, because it's going to be an issue right there as well.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3116, and we will open a public hearing on HJM 15 with Mike Sullivan and Andrew Ainsworth.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 15A urges Congress to pass legislation and appropriate funds for free post-secondary education.
Mr. Sullivan.
Chair Hass, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Andrew Hinsworth, and I'm here on behalf of Representative Peter Buckley, who represents District 5 down Southern Oregon. So House Joint Memorial 15 is a relatively simple memorial that recognizes the importance that post-secondary education plays in our country and in economic development, and requests respectfully that the Congress pass legislation and appropriate funds to provide for free post-secondary education to, you know, academically qualified U.S. citizens. And, you know, one thing that we'd like to point out just very quickly is that, you know, during the time of the GI Bill, for every dollar invested there, there was a $6.90 return and increased national output and tax revenues. So, you know, this is not meant as a comparison. An issue arose in the House side where members believed we were saying the GI Bill was providing free education to our service members. And, of course, that was not free. They paid dearly for that. So we'd just like to state that for the record. But this provides a comparison to the value of post-secondary education in our national economy. And I will allow Mr. Sullivan to speak more to the memorial.
Chair Hess, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mike Sullivan. I'm the political director for the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers, commonly known as AWPPW. I want to thank you, Chair, for allowing this memorial to come forward. I also want to thank Representative Buckley and Andrew here. I started out on this quest in 2005 and was forever looking for a sponsor, and Representative Peter Buckley was very kind to do so. Where did this concept come from, you might ask? It came from a man who was a 16-year-old dropout who joined the Army in 1943 to fight for his country. His name was Tony Mazzocchi, and my dad, I was fortunate enough to meet him three times. When he got out of the Army, he heard of the 5220 Club, which was one of the benefits of the Servicemen's Readjustment Act 1944, commonly known as the GI Bill. What the 5220 Club did was it gave $20 a week, which was two-thirds of the average take-home pay of a worker, to allow GIs to go back to school. It was portable. They could go to school, they could stop, they could go to work, and then come back to school, and they could do this over a period of years. Tony Mazzocchi's dream was to expand this wonderful benefit to all Americans. He called it free for all. He would preach it wherever he went, even on the eve of his death in 2002. Traveling along with a book, he really, his favorite, When Dreams Come True, The GI Bill and the Making of the Modern America by Michael J. Bennett. We have to reinvent the middle class that we have seemed to have lost, and higher education is very unaffordable today. I know I have two adult children that I'm still paying loans on, and I have a 17-year-old soon to go to high school, or college, I should say. Families with low income have to use more of their income to send their kids to school. So it's even a worse burden on them. Chair Hess, there is no free lunch, and this concept of free-for-all will pay dividends, as Andrew pointed out. So I would hope that this committee would pass this House Joint Memorial 15 out and let the dream of Tony Mazzocchi live on. Thank you for listening to me, and I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Do we have anyone else signed up for this? I see no one. So I will close the public hearing on HJM 15. And I lost a couple of senators to other bills, and we will revisit it when they return. Open a public hearing on 2570.
For our work session, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, we'll go straight to work. I'm sorry.
Really just kind of.
We close public hearing on House Bill 2570. Please carry over. I will open a work session on 2599A.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2599A would be the bullying bill, quote unquote, that we heard last week. We have no amendments. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Yes, and I should say that we talked with the sponsors about several places to make some additions.
and at two or three places, and at the end of the day, they all fell short of achieving their goal to clarify, and I think kind of went the other direction. So we have no amendments that hit the standards of what we want to do, which was possibly improve this. So we have what we have before you, unamended. Comments, Senator Cruz?
We spent a lot of time on the bullying bill last session. It kind of gets into categories such as a thing called hate crimes, just as an example. Mm-hmm. And a crime is a crime. You know, to call it a hate crime, I mean, if assault is assault. And to put different things on, I'm not sure that we've had what we did 2 years ago in place long enough to tell full impacts. And we tend as a body to do something and then continue to tinker with it and never let the dust settle long enough to tell how effective we're being. And it's, I mean, it's just a problem. I fully understand the intent. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. Ms. Chair, if you want to move it at this point in time, I would give you a vote to move it. But I'll reserve. I'm still debating with myself on this thing. So.
I appreciate that. Senator Morris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm reflecting on a meeting in my office with a group of young people and our parents, and the story that was told of a young lady who moved into the school district, very, very bright, and you may have heard this account. And not because of her protected status as defined in the bill, and of course this says may not be limited to, mm-hmm. She was bullied to the point of just literally, running her out of school, point of even kids tearing her clothes. It put her into a deep depression. She went from a straight-A student to a failing student. And the troubling thing about that, well, two troubling things. Number one, that her peers would behave that way. But the fact that when it was brought to the attention of the administration, they did nothing. And that's really troublesome. When you have a situation that is so impactful, as was that case, and to turn a blind eye, that's a big problem. Now, if this bill would draw attention to that and cause that administrative body to just say, hey, we're going to solve this problem, it's not tolerated, then this is a good thing.
If I could, Ms. Chair.
Senator Cruz?
It's already in law. They're supposed to do something. It's already in law.
I know it is, and I tend to agree with Senator Morris. Is to the extent that we do raise awareness of this and put it into a process procedure for schools in a way that that can make this, to make bullying an unacceptable peer behavior, that will go a long ways toward reducing, eliminating it. At least that was a testimony we had from the experts. I think we had Lane Education Service District's diversity specialist say that too. So, and I feel like this bill does get at that. And if we have to pass a bullying bill every session for the next 10 sessions with the idea of continually keeping this awareness alive, I'm okay with that.
Well, Mr. Chair, it does add a new piece of language. It's called psychological well-being,
mm-hmm.
To existing law. And in the case of this young lady, you know, she was high-performing student to suicidal because of the bullying.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand exactly where Senator Cruz is coming from. All the laws in the world don't necessarily change people's hearts.
That's right.
And I agree. And, you know, Ms. Chair, you know, when I was in the ninth grade, I was the second smallest kid in my class, and I was picked on a lot. Somehow I managed to survive. And I'm doing rather well today, and those people that picked on me aren't necessarily doing that well. not that I did anything to them, but, I, you know, it's just, you know, we need to be careful. And this is off topic, but I saw a thing on HBO, on Brian Gumbel's show, where there's a school district now that has a no-touching policy, okay? You know, we have some schools that if you can play soccer, but you don't keep score because nobody can lose. This school has, they can play tag, but nobody is it, and you don't touch somebody, you step on their shadow. And you don't do high fives, you do air fives, and you hug without touching. And I'm thinking, my God, where in the hell is all this stuff going? Okay, you know, and you know, so I look at things in context of an extreme swing in what I consider to be the wrong direction, because kids are going to be kids, and we can't necessarily stop that, but. You know, that thing, I found that, and it's not in this state, obviously, but I found that shocking, and I'm thinking, is this the direction we are trying to go? And you know, protecting people is important, and bullying is wrong. But, you know, at some point in time, the real world comes into play. So, you know, not everybody's nice or fair in the real world, yeah. So...
Points well taken.
So, but having said that, Mr. Chair, I will at least at this point in time give you a vote to move the bill.
All right. Well, we are in a work session. Senator Morris.
Oh, excuse me. Mr. Chair, I move the House Bill 2599A engrossed, measure B reported out of the committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris moves that House Bill 2599 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, is there objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. I will carry it. And I will close a work session on House Bill 2599 and open a work session on 2822.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2822 is our third-party private sewer lines bill. Would you like me to say more?
I recall this is Senator Morris's pet bill.
Are you ready to go, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Okay. We have the proper paperwork in hand.
Okay. And there are no amendments?
Nope. No revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Very logically explained.
And a very lovely map, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're doing good.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2822 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris moves House Bill 2822 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, is there objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senator Morris, would you like to carry this?
I certainly will. Thank you.
Okay. And I don't know if we'll get the return of our other two members, so we will go ahead and open up the work session on, I will close the work session on 2822. And open up a work session on HGM 15. Senator Morris.
Mr. Chair, I move that HGM 15 engrossed be reported out of committee with a recommendation that it be adopted.
Senator Morris moves that HGM 15 engrossed be reported out of committee with a recommendation that it be adopted. Any discussion?
Just briefly, and I'm going to support this, Mr. Chair, but I do wonder and question sometimes whether we memorialize Congress too much and that things might get lost in the flow. For example, we did several memorials to Congress this session for veterans issues that I think are incredibly important. And sometimes less is more. However, and I look at this as something that will go to Congress and they will probably ignore, but still.
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, I read a statistic last week that should be, and I'm sure it is, troubling to all of us, and that is looking at the population, the demographics, young adults and older adults, and on a per thousand basis of baccalaureate degrees, we have 18% fewer in that young adult population than we do in the older adult population. And that's a very troubling,
it is
very troubling statistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard this, that it's more difficult for this generation to go to college than it was for my generation. And supposedly each generation is supposed to be easier and more accessible.
Yeah. I guess, Mr. Chair, my point, I think, what I made poorly was when we were dealing with the myriad of veterans bills, the governor had a veterans task force, and the one thing that task force did was get members of the Oregon congressional delegation to be champions of the various issues that we were wanting Congress to address. And I think rather than just memorializing to Congress, we ought to probably, if we're going to do that, and it's appropriate to do it, at least have a conversation with some members of our congressional delegation and try to find a way that, mm-hmm. that what we're doing can help them move towards an objective.
I agree. Okay. Further discussion. Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. HJM 15 is adopted, and Senator Bates is listed on this bill. He can carry this. I would ask a unanimous consent to allow Senator Metzger to vote on House Bill 2599. Seeing no objections, Senator Metzger, would you like to vote on House Bill 2599?
Thank you. You know, the committee moves so fast when I walk out, and here it's kind of slow. I walk out to talk to council, and all of a sudden you start moving stuff.
We're waiting for you to leave. Right? That was it.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I would vote aye.
Okay. And were you here for 2822?
No, apparently you did them both, just
I
like
would
that.
Say, I would ask for unanimous consent to allow Senator Metzger to vote on House Bill 2822. Seeing no objection. Senator Metzger, how do you vote?
I vote aye, and that was one of the more interesting hearings we've had this session. and I mean seriously, I mean, it's amazing that people could do that type of a thing, you know, after 100 years. So I'm glad we're doing something to remedy that.
Yeah.
I get to carry the bill.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Okay. We have one more meeting. It's a week from today. There's no meeting on Memorial Day, and
how many bills we got?
We have nothing scheduled for Friday in consideration of you all.
Do we have a full plate on Wednesday?
We do have a full plate.
Okay.
We have a full plate.
Are we scheduling an additional potential, or are we just going to run along until we get done?
That's it, on Wednesday.
Right, but I mean...
Unless we have a special dispensation from Senator President.
No, but what I'm saying is we'll just start at 3 and go till we're done, basically.
Yes, yes. Okay. And I think right now we have...
We're beyond working the bill, so it's either up or down.
Well, I may want
except
to make...
Except for one.
Except for one? Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's
sorry.
Okay. I don't think it's that bad, Mr. Chair.
No, it's just... Depends on how long those go. So maybe there's some homework we need to do on those to ease next Wednesday. So see no other business before us. We are adjourned.